Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lara on WNYC, and the Major League Baseball season begins this weekend when the Yankees play the Red Sox on Sunday night. And these days, among people who follow baseball closely, really closely, it's harder than it used to be to tell the jocks from the geeks. And that's largely because of the galaxy of statistics that some baseball fanatics immerse themselves in now, either for choosing up fantasy teams or just because. So you've all heard of ERAs and RBIs, but these days the true geek might cite the EQBRR, the Pythagorean Pat, or the PECOTA. For those of you keeping score at home, PECOTA stands for Player Empirical Comparison and Optimization Test Algorithm. And that's where my next guests come in. Stephen Goldman and Jay Jaffe are two editors of Baseball Prospectus 2010, the essential guide to the 2010 baseball season. Baseball Prospectus is now in its 15th season, and we are going to talk Yankees, Mets, and statistics that will make your brain explode. Stephen, Jay, welcome to WNYC. Happy new baseball season.
Oh, thanks
for
having
us. Thank you. Same to you.
And to quote from the preface, your book has more words than Moby Dick and weighs more than War and Peace. If I was a Republican member of Congress, I would say, this looks like the health care bill. So who's your audience? Who wants to know baseball statistics at that level of obsession?
Well, you know, the book functions in a lot of different ways for different people. It's read in every front office in baseball. A lot of people also use it as a fantasy guide if they're in a fantasy. And in between, just the casual baseball fan can read it. Hopefully it's accessible to everyone.
Let's take a stat of yours that most baseball fans, not to mention most normal people, never heard of, the EQBRR, or equivalent base running runs. Your book says it measures the number of runs contributed by a base runner's advancement on the bases above what would be expected given the number and quality of the base running opportunities with which the player is presented. So, guys, I'm a big baseball fan, and I have no idea what that means. What does that mean?
Well, what it means is what we've done is to measure the expected run value of every situation, every combination of runners on base and out. So, a runner on first and third with one out is worth, one increment of runs, let's just say it's 0.4. A runner on first and second with two outs is worth 0.3, let's just say. We measure each of those increments because we take the play-by-play data and dice it up and assign, the increases and decreases in value for each of those things. And so we can see at the end of the year that, say, Ichiro Suzuki or Sean Figgins, was worth an extra 7.4 runs on the base paths. We know, that a guy should advance, this far on a double or this far on an infield grounder, and we slice it, dice it that way.
See if the individual is better than what would be expected in most of those situations.
Right.
And I see in your book that the Yankees last year had an EQBRR of -6.4, while the Mets had an EQBRR of +1.9. And I don't know what that means either, but I can see that they're really different. So what does it tell us, that the Mets were +2 and the Yankees a -6 on this stuff?
What it tells you is those two teams were actually not that far apart. I mean, that's a difference of 8 runs. The currency, when you're converting from runs to wins, it takes about 10 runs to move one win from the loss column to the win column. So every 10 runs added to the ledger gives you an extra win. So there was less than one win difference. I mean, people like to say, oh, base running is so valuable. It's really, it's important, certainly, but when you're talking about the differences between, say, pitchers or hitters, 10 runs over the course of a season is not a big deal for an entire team when it comes to base running.
We don't have much time for this segment, but listeners, if you happen to have a favorite lesser-known baseball statistic, call in with it. Leave batting average and earned run average aside for today. What's your favorite lesser-known baseball statistic for Jay and Steve from Baseball Prospectus? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Real quick, how'd you guys get into this? Were you math majors who rejected Wall Street or ball players who didn't make the pros? How'd you wind up at this level of baseball geekiness?
No. In fact, if I told you my grades in math, they would appall you. I was basically asked to leave my high school math program. It was really, for me, it was starting to read Bill James back in the 1980s, and he really opened my eyes to all the things that were happening on the baseball field. And then these statistics, again, I'm more of an end user, not somebody who creates them, but they're just a way of better understanding what's on the field, of having a better record than what used to be on the back of the baseball card.
How about you?
pretty much the same arc. I remember the Sports Illustrated article that introduced Bill James to the world in 1980. I read all the abstracts. I was actually a graphic designer by trade, and I've kind of transitioned out of that once I started a blog, my own blog, Futility Infielder, and wrote about a few things that came to the attention of Baseball Prospectus, and now that's my day job.
Futility Infielder?
Futility Infielder. That pretty much describes my playing career.
And you say that your goal, you say this in the preface of the book, your goal is to give a complete picture of baseball with the kind of intellectual rigor usually reserved for matters of state. So does that take the fun out of it or put a different kind of fun into it?
I think it puts a different kind of fun into it. Again, as I said, the idea is to know what's going on, to not just have to rely on the kind of received wisdom or the boilerplate that you get from the team paid broadcast, but to really know what's going on. And the thing about, as obscure as some of the names for all these statistics are, it's really just a way of getting more clarity. And for anything that says EQ on it, we were talking about equivalent base running before, it's just to have a baseline with which you can compare players without having to just look at a batting average, say, in a vacuum.
People are calling in so far to say that there's already too much focus on statistics in baseball. So if anybody actually – we're not going to have that discussion really right now in our few minutes, but we hear you. But if anybody wants to call in with a favorite lesser-known stat, feel free to do this. How about this one, guys? The Pythag plus or minus, which is by how many games a team over or underperformed its Pythagan Pat record. This is not an April Fool's joke. What does that mean?
Basically, Bill James showed back in the early 80s that there was a very predictable relationship between the number of runs a team scores, the number they allow, and their winning percentage. And we use a slight derivative of that to predict, you know, how strong a team is based on, you know, the runs scored and runs allowed, and adjusting for a few things like the park they play in and their quality of opposition. That's where the Pythagan Pat comes in. But it's a formula that looks a lot like the old Pythagorean theorem from, you know, your basic algebra, the formula for a right triangle.
Amy in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. You have a question about a stat. That's okay. Hi. Are you there?
Because this is my example of how much statistical detail can be exaggerated, even
sports.
Game commentary, live game commentary. So I imagine somebody saying that this batter ranks sixth among switch hitters batting left-handed in extra base hits with runners on base in away games. And of course, I'm doing for.
And you don't want to know.
Well, no. I mean, I do it as a joke that it gets too detailed. But I wonder if it might actually be available in a baseball perspective.
Like any kind of toy, it can be a weapon in the wrong hands. And we always talk about small samples, which is to say that when you're talking about some slice of what the player did, that's maybe 30 at bats, as you're talking about. And sure, we could come up with that number, but it's indistinguishable from luck. And it's fun to know for trivia, but it's not necessarily useful to know. And while those things do come up on team broadcasts, it's not something at BP that we do.
Josh in Westfield has a favorite lesser-known stat. Hi, Josh.
Hey, guys. How are you? I really like the show. Thanks for giving me an opportunity to come on.
Thank you. What's your stat?
It's actually something that was showcased in the latest issue of Sports Illustrated. It's called War, the Wins Above Replacement.
And what does it mean?
Well, as I understand it, it's a tool that's used to evaluate potential players that a team might sign, and it sort of assigns a value of a number of wins that player would contribute to your team based on their overall performance versus a player that you might replace with them who's the average at that position across the league. Does that sound right?
Yeah. WAR is a knockoff of a Baseball Prospectus stat called WARP. Wins above replacement player. And a replacement player is a let's just say a minor league call-up or a waiver wire pickup, free talent. And we measure the value of a player's offense and defense and in runs. And again, we convert that from runs to wins at about a 10-to-1 ratio. There are adjustments in there. But it's a currency you can use for a lot of things. You can say, you know, a 10.0 warp season is about, you know, is an off the charts MVP season. You can use it to measure, say, the amount of talent that came out of a minor league system. Like, yeah, they produced 80 warp. It's a good figure for aggregating, large quantities of player seasons, and also, you know, for measuring the value of a player over the life of a contract, one warp, one win above replacement level is worth about $4.5 million on the free agent market, for example. We do calculations based on things like that with it.
And once you know what replacement level is, it's just an incredibly valuable concept to know because, again, you're not judging a player in a vacuum. You're measuring him against a kind of theoretical baseline, and you can apply that to almost anything in life. You could have friends above replacement level or spouses above replacement level or potentially politicians above replacement level, although I'm not sure that there are any. So, I mean, it's just a very handy concept to know.
So we're going to run out of time soon. After familiarizing myself with all these stats, I went to your Yankees pages to see, okay, what am I going to learn new, you know, about the Yankees in the context of Pythagorean puts and warps and woofs and, you know, whatever else. And what it really seemed to come down to was you said the Yankees are getting old.
Well, they are. There's a risk that Derek Jeter and Jorge Posada, who were 35 and 37 respectively last year, are not going to be as good at 36 and 38 as they were. So, I mean, the Yankees are very deep, and they have a very good chance to contend anyway. But some of those old-time stars that we've followed for so long are potentially going to start to age.
If I read your Jeter stats correctly, you see a 25% chance that Jeter will collapse this year. Is that what your collapse stat means?
Basically, it means his production will drop off about 20% from a weighted average of the last 3 years. That, yes, I mean, that's the risk of a 37-year-old shortstop. They do tend to fall apart. And if you look at the number of seasons that players of his age have produced while playing shortstop regularly, it's a very small number.
10 seconds. Do you do fantasy baseball yourself?
I do not. Too much of a good thing.
I do, but I have to say it's like working in the cookie factory. You get a little tired of the cookies after a while.
And these are the real obsessives around your book, right? Are the people who do the fantasy leagues and they need to know every stat about every player because that's how you win at fantasy ball?
It's great. It's great for getting an edge.
Yes.
Baseball prospectus. Forgive me. 2010, the essential guide to the 2010 baseball season. Thanks a lot for a fun ride, Steve and Jay.
Thank you.
Our pleasure.
And that's it for today's show. Lisa Allison, Jody Avergan, Paige Cowett, Alan Smith, and Rachel Senator produced this program. We had intern help from Amanda Magnus and Chuni Chien, and our senior producer is Megan Ryan. That's Debbie Fountain at the audio controls. Happy Easter if you celebrate. Happy opening day if that's your national holiday. Talk to you Monday. I'm Brian Lehrer.